It's a 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Wednesday, June 10th. Welcome to the recap. Here's what you missed on the show today. We found that you may be thinking of buying some new appliances and all the bells and whistles, mm-hmm. the smart appliances like the dishwasher that tells you when the dishes are done on your phone, or some refrigerators that call and tell you when the door's left open. Come to find out, people who buy these Storm within 24 months are ditching them.
You know, this is something that looks great in the brochure. Oh, man, my refrigerator will tell me when I need more coffee creamer.
Right.
Now, after a while, people realize they're not updating the software to keep hackers out, and you're just opening up the door to hackers because these are very vulnerable. That's where one of the entry points where a hacker wants to get in to use your information. They're going to want to get to your Wi-Fi. And guess what? Your refrigerator and your dishwasher and mm-hmm. your tumble dryer is now hooked up to your Wi-Fi. It just, all these are entry points.
Yes, and of course, that Wi-Fi is connected to your phone and to your computer and stuff.
And your bank.
And here's the thing, is that there's really no standardization when it comes to manufacturers giving firmware updates. You know, sometimes every once in my TV will come on and say it received a firmware update.
Sure.
And what that is it's security measures to make sure people can't get in. And a lot of these retailers of manufacturers aren't doing that.
Maybe the first couple of years they will, then maybe some of them don't even have the technology to update. The firmware.
So it's people are actually going back to, quote, the dumb appliances that don't connect to your internet because they last at least 10 years versus a couple years where you got to get rid of them.
I've gotten along this far without talking to my refrigerator. I think I can pretty much spend the rest of my life with my refrigerator being dumb.
I tend to think my refrigerator would be quite judgy. He's like, really, Chris? Do you need to get back? Do you need more ice cream, Chris?
How much Haagen-Dazs can you eat, man?
How's your pants feeling there, fatty? It's interesting when we talk about memory. Speaking of the kitchen, you know, sometimes I'll get up and I'll go into the kitchen and I'll stand there for a second, like, I came in here for something. What was it?
You're not alone, man.
I'm looking around for something to kind of spark, as to why I came in, and I can't figure it out. Well, come to find out, researchers have said that your memory is an all or nothing game, some game.
All right.
So what they did is they asked people to learn the locations of specific words on a circle.
So they drew words into a circle.
Right.
And you're supposed to remember where they are, like something's at noon, what's at 6 o'clock, what's at 9 o'clock. Okay.
Right. And so what they did is they tested them at various times over the next 4 days to see if they could recall where the words were placed on that circle.
Right.
And what they found were that in groups where participants were tested later, the people had forgotten a lot about where the word locations were.
Okay.
But if they did remember anything, they remembered everything about it, the location and the word.
It's like all or nothing. So either you remembered it or you didn't.
Yeah, they said that it really is kind of interesting to point out that what you gain in the number of word location associations you lose in the precise location as to where you remember them. So in essence, you remember the word coffee is on the circle, but I thought it was at the top of the circle, and you're telling me no, it's actually at the 5 after position.
Exactly.
This was interesting because this is kind of a game changer when we're talking about coronavirus. You know, keep in mind that you see sometimes it says it's called the novel coronavirus.
Right.
Novel meaning it's new.
Well, it's actually novel.
Just novel,
it's something that is novel. You know, it's novel, new. The 19 means it's was discovered in 2019, last year.
Yeah, and what that means is that from time to time, once new information is introduced, positions and guidelines are going to be changed.
Yeah, we're learning more about it all the time. We are the last 6 months. All we're trying to do is learn about this brand new virus, and the World Health Organization has actually updated recommendations regarding their face masks. And I can't tell you how many people says, I'm not wearing a face mask because the WHO, World Health Organization, says you don't need to. Well, they say you need to now.
Yeah, that's very true. And I always point out the fact, I'm like, you know, one time people told you the world was flat.
Yeah.
We're
learning every day about this virus and how it's presented and how it's transmitted.
Yeah, the World Health Organization. Now, you remember a while ago, before, like, you know, the first of the year, both the CDC and the World Health Organizations basically said wearing a face mask would do absolutely nothing to stop the spread of a virus. The CDC kind of changed up their tune a little bit once we got more information.
Right, right.
And they said that, no, you should actually wear some cloth mask, although it's not 100% effective. It does kind of slow things down.
That and social distancing makes a big difference.
And now the World Health Organization is now telling that anybody over the age of 60 and people with underlying health conditions should wear a mask where distancing is not possible.
What they've noticed is over the last 6 months, some of the places that have required masks, like New Zealand, mm-hmm. and some places that haven't, like India, when it first started out, it's rampant in India, and New Zealand is opening back up. So they've realized, well, I guess the face masks do work. So they've changed because that's what science does. Once they've learned something new, they will change the protocols for us.
Yes, and that's something to kind of remember, too, because if the people that are vehemently against wearing face masks will point out, well, the World Health, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah. What you need to remember are the dates of these things. Yes, yeah. It was true. The CDC at one time did say that, but they made the changes back in March.
So keep up.
The World Health Organization made changes in June, and that's how we learned that the world's not flat and we can go to the moon. Let's see. We found out how to find fake donation scams. There's a lot of the unrest that's going on in the nation, and it's going very, very rapidly. Mainly due to the protests in response to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis.
Which means the scammers are jumping in right now. And there's something called the Minnesota Freedom Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a fake Minnesota Freedom Fund Venmo account set up. Looks just like the real one, but people are tricked into giving money to a fraudulent account.
Yeah.
And this happens, you know, every time there is either, you know, Houston is flooded or there's a tornado out west. People, the scammers just flock to this to try to get people to give them money. And it's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, mainly because it's so quick. When you're talking about the Minnesota mm-hmm. Freedom Fund, it was designed or it's being used for the protesters that have been arrested. It pays their bail. So you would imagine, well, I've got to get my money quickly to them.
Yeah, right.
The problem is that you're letting your guard down. And what happened was the Minnesota Freedom Fund actually found a scammer that had a Twitter, a Venmo account
right.
that looked similar to theirs, but it wasn't theirs at all. And that's where people were funneling money. So scammers mm-hmm. were getting free money that way. So
what do we do about it?
What you want to do is you want to check with the Federal Trade Commission and AARP, believe it or not. They recommend checking sites like Charity Navigator, right. Better Business Bureau, Wise Giving Alliance, and Charity Watch to ensure your charity is actually rated.
And you can also find out where the money goes, how much of it goes to the administration or how much actually mm-hmm. goes to the people who need it. You know?
And the AARP goes a step further, reminds people never give out your bank information, never. Especially
right.
if someone asks you versus you calling and going on and never give your social security number. And they also suggest if you are making a monetary donation, either mm-hmm. for people to be bailed out of jail or for business owners that have lost everything due to looting and rioting, to go ahead and put that on your credit card. That's an extra layer of protection.
Right.
In the event that the $100 donation you thought were going mm-hmm. to one organization was fraudulent, well, then
you can dispute it.
Yeah, you can dispute it, and therefore you're not going to be held accountable for that.
All right. Now, how much salt do we put in the pasta water? This is fascinating. You need to salt that water, but you don't put the same amount of salt in depending on the kind of pasta you're eating.
Yeah, that's what they say, because you had said that a chef had told you a while ago that the pasta water should taste like the sea.
Yeah,
and exactly.
Salty, French
like the
guy.
Sea.
And he said it with a French accent. It should taste like the sea.
Right. And that might not necessarily be true when you're making pasta, mainly if you have a salty dish like maybe one with anchovies or provolone cheese.
The Parmesan.
Parmesan. Your general rule is for 1.5 tablespoons of salt for a pound of pasta. And you had remarked, Storm, that a pound of pasta is an entire box.
Yeah, that's the whole box. And that's a lot of pasta right there, folks.
And not a lot of salt there, too. So kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah.
As for your selection of salt, pretty much any salt you want to, except maybe the fancy stuff, save that for later.
Yeah, exactly. I just use the regular Morton salt. I have a little carton of Morton salt that is just for salting water. I don't have to use the pink Himalayan sea salt. You know?
Yeah. And then I thought this was interesting because my mother used to do this when she would make pasta.
Right.
Is this says never, no matter what, never add oil to your pasta.
Right.
And the reason for that is that the oil sticks to the pasta and makes it slick, and therefore all the sauce that you put on it slides off.
That's right. You don't rinse it. What I do is I'll cook it. If it says 9 minutes, I'll cook it for 8.
Right.
And then I'll put it in the pan. I'll drain it and then put it in the pan with the sauce. And it'll cook for another minute in the sauce and absorb some of the sauce. And then when you plate it, you've got plenty of sauce on everything.
Yeah, and also keep in mind, just like with cooking protein products, when you take it off the heat source, it continues to cook.
Yeah, it continues to cook. That's why if you want it al dente, to the tooth, which is the perfect pasta, take it off a little bit early. It'll continue to cook.
And then finally, I love this one because this harpens back to my days of being a child when things were much more simpler as to just figuring out what underwear to put on for the day.
Is it Superman, Batman, Spider-Man? Which underwear do
it
I want
to put underoos,
on?
It was underoos, man. Those were the best ones. And they were the mainstay of children everywhere from the late 70s through the early 90s. But when the licensing industry decided, hey, we can license our characters to anybody and make some money, underoos kind of fell out of favor.
Right.
Until now, because Fruit of the Loom, which owns the underoos brand, is remarketing underoos for adults.
That's brilliant, you know?
Why not? Live some of your childhood. He-Man, Star Wars, Batman, Wonder Woman, Captain America. You can, as an adult, wear your underoos.
You know, I've always tried to get into Wonder Woman's pants. I mean, just teasing. Now I can buy them.
You can buy the undergarments for both men and women. They're around $30 a pop. The best part about this, I think, of the story is that the packaging of the underoos are sold in are very vintage as well.
Oh, cool. Okay. So
they look like the ones that were back in the 70s and the 80s. They're, like I said, $30. You can buy them on Amazon and at Walmart if it fancies you.
Excellent.
There's our show for today, Wednesday, June 10th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Remember, folks, the sun is always shining.